This podcast contains strong adult content, probably crude language, and general fuckery. So put those kids away. Get them out of here.
Good evening. A landmark ruling, the Supreme Court today legalized abortion.
Huge increases in sexually transmitted diseases.
Transgender rights is a fundamental human right.
There is a right to marriage equality. I repeat, speaking to you from the steps of the Supreme Court, there is a right to marriage equality.
Should sex education be taught to our kids?
Rolling back contraceptive coverage for women.
To make sure that women get the health care that they need. So we've got a lot of work in front of us. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to another episode of Frisky History.
Mm-hmm.
This is a podcast where we talk about the history of reproductive health care or anything that concerns it or connects to it. Week after week, never missing a single week release. We do it. We're very consistent. Very consistent.
You can count on us.
All the time. We're very reliable. I'm Lacey.
I'm Robin.
Hello. Hello, Robin.
Hello, Lacey.
How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, that's great.
I'm good. I discovered this game called Overcooked. Have you ever played it?
No, but is it like you run to different things,
little stations,
yes,
and you chop your little veggies and you
I know about this game.
Cute. It's so cute.
It looks cute, and I feel like I would also be into it.
Yeah, it's definitely like a play with friends kind of game. I do play it alone.
I mean, right.
I feel like it's a little bit sad, but
no, it's not.
Because it doesn't even give you like a computer to play against. It's like two chefs, but you have to like switch between the two of them. So it's like I'm just trying to run around and help myself.
I mean, that sounds
I'm getting pretty good.
like you multitask, like you're
it's tough.
You're juggling things very well. Nothing Thank sad you. About that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
To 2020.
The 2020.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Also, Mom, I know you're listening. We're drinking aerated wine right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We did discuss how the box of wine tools you got me do look like sex toys or gynecological tools. I just want you to know
that,
Mom. But we used all of them.
In an appropriate way.
Well, mostly, yeah. Well, I do have a long episode.
Okay.
For us today. I think it's long. I mean, it feels long.
We're here.
I'm pretty
for
excited
it.
About it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you realized that this is episode 69.
It is.
We've done it. We've reached it.
Oh my God.
And this is like one of the only ones we get.
It yeah.
There's no other number based sex things, is there?
No. Well, no.
No, I don't think so. Not until we get to 6,969.
Yeah.
But that's a while away. But it's taken us like 3 years just to get here. So. We're not doing great.
Yeah. We're doing it.
We're doing it, though. We're here.
Doing something.
We're here, and we're ready to get naughty with this episode.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. In this episode, we'll be getting deep into one of the greatest mysteries of all time.
Mm.
The puzzling, the elusive, some might even say mythical, female orgasm!
Yay!
We talked about this not that long ago.
Uh-huh.
When we attended the Humpfest.
Yes.
2019 Humpfest.
Yes.
A porn film festival here in Seattle.
Yes.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
If you're there, if you're here, I mean.
Yeah, it's worth a go every year.
So good. Every year.
It is. I learn something new every time.
Uh-huh.
It's wonderful. Mm. And it's so fun and supportive. And the people are great. And it's so great.
It's so great. I love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
So then, after we went there, in our discussion at this event, post-watching the films, we saw one where there were two ladies and a dude having some steamy shower sex, and one lady was getting it from behind, standing up in the shower, and you were like, I'm not sure I bought her orgasm all the way. That one felt, because this porn is like not, It's not like your average homepage Pornhub porn. It's not like, it's like lovely and it's funny.
Like artistic.
And artistic and beautiful, but very sexual, but obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's not made to just like, oh, we just need you to have a quick orgasm. This is made to enjoy.
Yes.
And the people in it seem like they enjoy it.
Yes.
So that was the reason why you commented on this, just to give them people listening context.
Yes.
That so much of it is so good.
Mm-hmm.
But you were like, I'm not sure about it.
Yeah. That was the one. Honestly, it was still, I think because all of the films we saw at Humpfest this year were fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. And that was the one that we were like, eh. Because it was just like a threesome in the shower.
Yeah, it was. I mean.
We had just watched a group gangbang where they are like throwing fire at each other.
Oh my God, that one was like, so good.
So it was like, that one was a little bit.
It was fine.
It was fine, yeah. I mean, if I watched it now, I'd be like, that's fucking sick. But I think just what it was sandwiched by was.
Yeah. I mean, it was good quality camera.
It was beautiful,
like, nice setting. But at the end of the day, just we didn't quite have the storyline that some of them have or like the pizzazz. It was definitely one of the weaker ones, I would say. I have to agree with you.
Yeah. So, I did critique it in that way. And I think that was, I think it was wrong of me.
I mean,
I was like, I don't fully buy it because I have always thought that orgasm from penetration alone was a myth.
Well, we're going to talk about this today. That's what we're here.
I'm glad you're bringing this
talk about
here.
So we had this conversation. Then, like, literally the next week back at work, I was talking to my work partner, Larissa, and we were talking about the Humpfest. I was like, oh my God, it was so great. It was amazing. I loved it, blah, blah, blah. And then she was talking about this Netflix/Vox show. That is called Explained. Have you ever watched an episode of it?
Is it like Sex Explained? Is that the one?
That's a new one. It's like that's an offshoot of the show. Oh. So there's like Explained was the original, and then it was like The Mind Explained, and now there's like Sex Explained.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of them, but
they're pretty fun because they're also really short. They're like less than half an hour, so you get like a really quick, like, you know, it's kind of like watching a YouTube video on some topic you're interested in.
Sweet.
So they have one on the female orgasm.
Okay.
It's very, very good. I highly recommend it.
Oh.
I did take a lot of information from it, but I tried to like expand upon certain areas and not use everything. So I would still say go watch it. And also it's narrated by Rachel Bloom.
Oh.
From Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Okay. I've heard of her.
She's very funny. I'm sorry. I have the wine burps a little. Sorry. I'm full of salsa. We talked about this.
Let's talk about sex.
Okay. Now that I've set the mood
modern woman
in your direction, let's talk about orgasms. We are going to search for answers to the age-old questions. Can women climax from vaginal stimulation alone?
Mm.
Vaginal stimulation alone. I felt like I...
Yeah. Say it again.
I was... Listen. Vaginal stimulation. Just that.
Alone.
Is there a difference between clitoral or clitoral? I don't know which one of those is really right. I always want to say clitoral, but I feel like that clitoral is not wrong either. Which do you prefer?
Sounds a little bit like clitoral.
Yeah. Fancy.
I don't know. It's like,
I'm going to go with clitoral.
Yeah.
Because also I like that it kind of sounds like literal. Like maybe I'll name the episode something about that. Like, don't know yet. I can't.
Clitorally.
Clitorally. Okay.
Oh boy.
Clitoracy. That's a.
Ooh.
Larissa made that up once, but I'm stealing it from her. She definitely gave me that one time for something else. Right. Is there a difference between clitoral and vaginal orgasms?
Okay.
And why? In God's name, is it so much harder for women to orgasm? We want answers, damn it.
I know.
And we're going to get them.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm very passionate about this.
I am too.
I want women reaching completion.
I know. I'm fucking sick of it.
Sick of it. We deserve orgasms, and we're going to get them, goddammit.
I know.
Okay, small disclaimer there real quick.
Okay.
Before we get into it. This episode will focus mainly on cisgender women to explain that. There's a lot of information to cover, like a ton, and it's just easier to stay in a single category to explain a lot of things, but hopefully later, at a later time, other episodes, we can explore transgender and non-binary people's, you know, experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, I will not rest until we understand all the orgasms except for men. Sorry, dude.
We're over it.
Sorry, we're over it. Yours just seems so easy. We're not going to give it any attention. Okay. And also, I will mainly be focusing on heterosexual relationships.
Okay.
I'll talk some about the state of, like, lesbians' orgasms, but most of the mystery seem to lie in the heterosexual space.
Okay.
Can't imagine why.
Cough, men. Cough.
Okay. Let's begin with the facts. Because that's what we're about on this show.
Yeah.
Facts.
Facts.
Not opinion-based things.
No, no, no.
Cold, hard facts.
That's right.
We rarely share our opinion about things.
Yeah.
Men are awful. I barely even have one.
And it's a fact.
It's a fact.
And you can look it up.
That's Google it. Okay. According to an American study, 95% of heterosexual cisgender men regularly orgasm during sex.
That's annoying.
95% of them. And that is unsurprisingly the highest among all the groups, which were like heterosexual men, bi men, gay men, then same for women. So six groups, heterosexual men get 95%, the highest.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, that's okay.
Yep.
Fuck you.
Would you like?
Oh my God. I'm just pissed.
Because we all knew.
Because what about all the times
we knew.
Where they get too drunk and then they're like, oh, whatever. I don't know.
We knew that this was coming, but it is hearing this the number and knowing that it's true.
Yeah.
It's just like hard to swallow. And we're done swallowing because apparently you guys have too much fun already.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to guess the percentage of heterosexual cisgender women? Okay, so, and I'll also say this is not based on vaginal orgasms alone. This is just all orgasms across the board. So, what percentage of straight cisgender women do you think regularly orgasm during sex?
Oh, God.
If you don't want to guess, you don't have to. I can just tell you.
It is
I have
scary,
the answer.
Okay. I hope so. We're just going to go whatever you say.
Yeah.
That'll be fact. Is it 30%?
Okay. It's... According to this study, 65.
Okay, I'm a dick.
No, it's fine.
But no, it's like you hear, when you talk to your friends about it, there are some women that are like, oh, I've never orgasmed.
It's not you. It's not you. I think it's fair. This is just.
Yeah, there are a lot of women who, are unsatisfied in their heterosexual partnerships. Yeah.
And when you think about it, 65% compared to 95%. Percent of our opposite in this experience between two people most of the time. I mean, not really most of the time. I don't know. You guys could be, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If we're just looking at a two people kind of situation, 65 compared to 95% is crazy.
It is crazy.
Like that's a large difference.
It is. It's 95% is a fucking crazy number.
Crazy.
That's crazy. It's like, I mean, that's why it dictates sex. That's like,
Oh my God. There's so much. I can't wait to tell you.
I know.
Okay. So just to finish these numbers off, homosexual cisgender women, they clock in at 86%. Yes, ladies.
Fucking sick.
Why are we so much better at everything? It's so exhausting. It's such a burden to be so much better at everything. Then, a study of French and American cisgender women found that 16 to 21% have rarely or never experienced an orgasm at all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it fucking happens. It's sad.
Like, there were only 5% of straight men who just don't come regularly, according to the study. Which doesn't mean never or rarely. It just means not... Every single time.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, that's,
But 21% of women just
never. Never.
So to break that down, 65% of us regularly get to reach orgasm. 20% of us almost never do. And so that means around 15% are like a so-so, sometimes sometimes no.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Okay.
okay. Oh, okay. But here's the real stat. The stat we've all been waiting for. Based on one study, only 18% of women can orgasm from vaginal penetration alone.
Okay.
So 70 to 82% of women require clitoral stimulation to orgasm.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
So.
Okay.
Not okay. surprising number there. That's yeah. not a surprising. That doesn't surprise me.
Right. Right.
At all.
Totally.
Because you know, I'm assuming you know, as a someone also in a heterosexual relationship currently, uh-huh. when you have sex with men, penetration is just going to be a lot of it. You know? It's a lot of it. I'm not complaining it's necessarily. Like the whole thing. But it's like, when you think about it, like, that's all the relationships between a man and a woman. 18% of women. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. I'm just saying. Mean, I, it is so rare. That is why I thought it was a literal myth. But mm-hmm. I did make that up in my head because I was like, I've never heard of that really happening.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, then it must be a myth. And then
well,
I
we're
going
to talk about it because yeah. a lot of people, it's kind of debated. And it's also, yeah. there's technicalities. In mm-hmm. the air. It's a very gray area.
Yeah.
But don't beat yourself up about it just yet.
I need this. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So to better understand how orgasms differ between men and women, scientists have turned to studying our big, thick, wet brains. I wrote that in here.
Gross.
A little misdirection. I was, you know, I was working in the sexy talk, but also we do need to talk about brains. So... I'm trying to keep it spicy, Robin.
Our hot, hot brains. Yes.
Hot, hot, sexy brains. So this dude named Barry Kumerzewski mm-hmm. at New Jersey's Rutgers
yes.
University. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure how hard to pronounce the G, you know? Is it Rutgers?
Rutgers.
University. So he researched whether or not brain differences can explain why cisgender men and women experience sex so differently.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that roughly the same neural activity is happening in both brains during an orgasm.
Okay.
The whole brain is just like, fuck yeah, lighten up everywhere. I like what's happening.
Yeah.
Is basically what's happening in both of our brains equally. The only thing that gets our brains going as much as an orgasm is a seizure.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Our brains are into it.
What?
They love it.
What?
They're just like fucking firing on all cylinders.
What?
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Hold on.
Okay. Wait.
I did not know this.
Yeah. The only thing that like causes as much brain activity is a seizure.
I thought it was like it felt
the
same.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I don't think a seizure is nearly as enjoyable.
But still, that's like, I mean, that's intense though.
Yeah, it's intense.
Yeah.
Like the fact that something that basically renders you incapable of moving, like, you know, when you have
yeah.
a seizure, you lose like all
yeah, yeah.
muscles, like control. There's no,
whoa.
Like there's no control over your
yeah.
whole body. And that's like being done in your brain. Then to think that an orgasm equally causes as much brain activity.
Yeah.
But then it's an orgasm. So, I mean, it's pretty impressive,
that's
which
cool.
is why we
okay.
all should be having them.
Yeah, orgasms.
Get those brains
not...
fired up. Yes, orgasms, not seizures. I mean, if you have those, very sorry if that's not offensive. I don't mean there's anything wrong
really
with it,
know.
But I wouldn't wish that anyone had
yes.
them. I'm going to stop. I'm going to leave right now, actually. Okay, so, but there is one big difference exhibited between the two brains. It comes after orgasm. So post-O-phase, regions of the male brain become, or they have this like refractory period where they're no longer responsive to genital stimulation.
Okay.
We, as females,
huh.
do not. Suck it! Our brains remain responsive or they become even more responsive to genital stimulation,
huh.
which is why we have the power of multiple orgasms!
Woo!
Thank you.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I know it. Yeah. I know that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I never really knew why.
Multiple orgasms. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense, though.
Dudes' brains are just like, ooh, that was a lot.
Ooh.
We're going to shut off all that sensitivity.
Drink some water and take a nap.
Yes.
Yeah. But
scratch your balls a little and pass the fuck out. And our brains are like, that was awesome. More, please. Yeah. Thank you.
That's fucking crazy. I mean, it's cool. It's just
It is cool. It's like cool that it's like all in the brain too.
Thing.
Science.
Sound like so fucking
Who
stupid.
Knew science was so sexy.
It's cool that it's like a science thing. I fucking want to die. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I think we're also just stronger
and better.
Better.
Smarter. So. Funnier.
Yes.
Prettier.
I mean, that's a huge. Yeah. It all plays into that.
It's all just, I mean, it's better. It's better. Okay. There's just a few fun facts I just wanted to throw there too, because I was like, this is interesting and I want to say it doesn't really have a lot to do with it, but sort of does. Okay. So the same regions of our brains are active during both pain and pleasure, which might explain why the two are so connected, because you're like activating the same part of your brain. But pleasure can also change how we feel pain. So a woman's pain threshold can increase up to 107% during orgasm.
What?
Yeah. So like if someone punching you in the arm hurts, you probably won't even really feel it while you're having an orgasm.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that. Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that
crazy? I mean,
that
totally makes sense. Wow.
I know. Women are so cool.
That is fucking cool.
It is cool. It explains a lot of things.
Like, I'm kind of like, when will that come in handy? But
well, so like never. Well, some people, like, there's a childbirth thing that like is debated. I put it in here like a tiny bit because people don't really love it very much.
True.
But yeah, so but if you're like, if you like say you have sensitive, you know, you're like you have a sensitive scalp or whatever, and someone pulling your hair just normally is like, fuck, that hurts.
Yeah,
you can probably have your hair pulled during sex, and it won't really hurt that bad. So there's a use case.
Yeah,
not speaking from experience. That's so weird that you didn't even bring that up.
Yeah,
I don't have sensitive. It's fine. Okay, but. This show is not called Frisky Chemistry, you know?
No, of course not.
It's not called Frisky Neurobiology.
No.
It's called Frisky History.
That's right.
We're here for the history. Yes. We want it.
Get
we
in
want
there.
It sexy.
Yeah.
Well,
give
it's
it to
not
me.
Really great, actually. So.
Okie dokie. It never is.
Never is. Literally never is. Okay, I'm sure it comes as no surprise that all of the foundational information written about female orgasms and the clitoris was dictated by men.
Yeah.
So,
Okay.
You can see where it's going.
Yes.
It's not going to a great place.
Never.
While interest in the female orgasm and the clitoris and repression of it have kind of moved in waves, so it's been like people have been kind of interested. People have been like, get a Bible, you know?
Yeah. Put a Bible
and
over that.
Put a
that.
Bible on that. But the female orgasm has constantly been misunderstood, misdiagnosed, underprioritized, and argued over. My vagina, you know? sorry, it's the aerated wine, guys.
It is. It's too good.
It's smooth. It's smooth and airy.
It's smooth as hell.
So for a lot of Western history, during medieval times through the Renaissance period, so that's about the 1200s to the 1600s, female orgasms were thought to play a significant role in reproducing. So everybody basically thought that women's sexual organs were the same as men's, but on the inside.
Yes.
So our dick and balls.
Yes,
they're
I
just
have heard this.
Up in there.
Yeah, that we just...
Just doesn't that make sense? It's like,
I mean, yes,
a perfect
is that
fit,
not
you know,
how?
The dick and it fits right into the dick glove that's on the inside. It just makes
I forget.
Sense.
Oh, I know. I feel like we've talked about this before and
it's
we've covered
very
this,
possible,
but I can't remember what the topic would have been. But I do remember learning that and thinking it's like the funniest shit ever.
Insane.
Because it's like, everything is dictated by the man's body.
Everything.
It's like, well, a woman is different, so it has to just be like a man.
I mean, we
but
don't
like
see the dick,
inside
but
out.
I feel it must be in there, right?
That
I mean,
is so funny.
There's a dick on
like
me.
Like a full dick inside
of
me at
of
all
you.
Times.
Balls too.
Because that definitely is what's happening already. I
not how Robin walks around.
well, even if that were the case, we would be designed better still, because why would you have balls outside of your body?
It's true. They're so vulnerable.
Who's the dumb one?
Who's the dumb one?
It's you. You know,
if you get hit in the dick with a ball, you're like, ow. And if someone throws a ball at my vagina, I'm like, that was rude, but I'm fine.
I'm a little pissed.
Yeah, I'm a little bit pissed at why you would do that, but whatever. So, right. Okay. We have a dick and balls up in us. That's just how it works.
Oh my God.
So if we, so at the time, if we know that male semen is then required to make a baby by their logic, you also need female semen, which just must be happening all up in you. We can't see it, but we assume. Yeah. And you need that by producing an orgasm to make a baby.
Okay.
Scholars at the time even believed, and this is possible that we've discussed this before, but I can't not put it in here. They even believed that it was dangerous for unsatisfied women if their female semen built up too long without release. And that would cause hysteria and melancholia.
Melancholia. Of course it would. Yes. God forbid a woman shows any type of emotion.
Absolutely.
That isn't,
it must just be that your inside
husband.
Dick needs to be taken care of, lady. But also, to me, in this one case, if, you know, we were all like, we got to reproduce, got to make babies, that's what we're here for. Uh-huh. And you were like, well, a woman's got to come to get the baby. I mean, at least there was some, someone cared, you know, that she got to also have an orgasm.
That's true.
For the fate of the planet.
Yes.
Hello.
I mean, this is science.
Yes. This is science. This is our, it's one moment in history that maybe we can enjoy without anger and depression. Think again. I'm just kidding. Apparently, this myth, although obviously very disproven by science and medical professionals everywhere for decades and decades, the idea that a woman can only get pregnant if she is in pleasure has managed to live on through rape deniers and anti-abortion fuckwads like former U.S. Representative Todd Akin. Akin? Don't know. Don't care. Because fuck him. He believes that female pleasure is necessary to conceive a baby. So, if you get pregnant from being raped, you must have had an orgasm. And then, was that really rape at all?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, my God.
So,
the
we can't
twists
even
and turns.
Have that.
The twists and
we
turns.
Can't even have
like,
it.
What the fucking
what the fuck?
Hell?
Dude.
Because at first, it's like, yeah, I want them to
believe.
Let's
go on believing that. Let's believe that.
And then
that.
It's like, oh, whoa. You used that in a terrible way.
Yeah, way to use it against us.
So now it's, oh my fucking
it's
God.
It's almost
oh
like
my God.
You've been destroying everyone else to push yourself forward for all of your existence ever. Interesting.
Oh my God. Well, I'm sorry that man will never have sex.
Well, I hope not. And I hope someone throws a ball right at his dick.
I hope so too.
Every day for the rest of his life. I hope he
it
wakes up
me.
To just to Robin at the foot of his bed holding one of those
rise
thick softballs.
And, yep.
And then she just fast pitches it right into your nuts. That's what I hope happens.
Fucking watch yourself.
Yep.
I'm telling you.
I'm telling you too. Oh boy. We don't know how to say your last name, but we do know how to find your address. Just kidding.
And your balls.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We know where they're located. We have those marked on a map. Todd. You would fucking be a Todd. Gross. Okay. Here we go. Back to this history.
Good.
In the 18th century, scientists were finally like, hang on a second here. I'm thinking maybe, biologically, you might be just different. There just might be a difference. Maybe, there is not a dick up inside you.
Okay.
Waiting.
Maybe your form isn't based off of a man's form, which we're just starting to understand.
Okay, yes. So we're like, no, that's not right. What a crazy thought. You dum-dums. So then, of course, all of our male thinkers snapped promptly into action. And around 1730, doctors realized that the female orgasm was not essential to procreating. And to quote an article I read on the Smart Set, the dark ages of the bedroom had begun.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. The minute they're like, oh, wait, we don't need you to come. Okay. Guess who doesn't care anymore?
Oh my God.
So pleasure
became basically a privilege. And things took another turn in the Victorian era when doctors suggested that women weren't actually capable of achieving a true orgasm at all. Okay. You're just not, and you can't.
When?
You just can't. The thing is we don't see a dick, so we're...
It's like, how would it be
possible? How would you? Can you even? You can't.
Come without a dick?
Oh, come on.
Are you fucking kidding?
Okay, whatever, Looney Tunes. You're crazy.
We'll tell them it will trickle down. Oh, my God.
To quote an 1875 English urologist, William Acton, as a general rule, a modest woman seldom desires any gratification for herself. She submits to her husband's embraces, but principally to gratify him. And were it not for the destiny of maternity, would far rather be relieved of his attentions. Cool guy, but also, I mean, you had something at the end there. Would far rather be relieved of your attention.
Yeah. Just kill me.
Just end it now, please. One of us has to go.
Oh my God.
Of course, the 1800s was also a time when women having orgasms was seen as a medical necessity thanks to the diagnosis of the female sexual tension known as hysteria.
Yeah.
Talked all about it.
Yeah.
You can learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
In episode 14.
Hell yeah.
When we talk about the invention of the vibrator.
Yes. Fucking crazy.
Right. Time and that's also clouded with despair and sadness.
Kind of really fucked up.
It's like you get one good thing and then you get about 45 bad things. Yeah. Does that sound good, ladies? Because that's how it works. Yeah. And most of the time they forget about the one good thing and they're just like, here's all the bad stuff.
Oh my God.
Enjoy.
Fucking crazy.
In the early 1900s, Freud joined the conversation because you know what we were missing is a white man's opinion.
Oh,
it just felt like we needed another one.
There's a gap.
There's a gap.
They need to be represented.
but what does he think about it?
Yeah.
You know, we need
to know.
I would love to know. Freud's three essays on the theory of sexuality is described as one of the grounding texts of 20th century thinking.
Okay.
So he has some influence. Good to know. In this book, he claims that at puberty, female stimulation is transferred from the clit to the vagina.
What the fuck?
So.
What?
Listen, this is how you know you're a real woman. Exclusively vaginal orgasms. They're more mature.
Why would he say that?
Because that's science, Robin.
Came to hit who, what, where was that information? Like, how do you even
think?
Who was like, yeah, when I turned 13, like, where is what?
Yeah,
oh my God, it's like he like woke up from a dream and was like, I saw this in a dream, and this is how it is.
Yeah,
and all these people listen to me, so I'm just gonna put it out there and like see what happens.
Yeah.
Will it stick?
I just feel like I like having sex with grown-up women.
I love having sex with grown-ups.
Obviously. They love having... I mean, it's not even a question. They love having sex with me. I have seen so many of them genuinely have an... I'm sure of it.
Mm.
They were into it. I can't even tell you how much they liked me having sex with them, Robin. And Freud's talking directly to you.
Shit.
It says right here in his book, Robin. So he just decided that must be it.
Oh my God.
So if you prefer clitoral stimulation after entering womanhood, there's something wrong with you, bitch.
That's insane.
Yeah.
It's just, okay.
Yeah.
I just don't. How do you even think of that? I just don't.
I don't know.
It's fucking crazy. Okay.
Be a dude.
Jesus Christ.
The things that pop into their heads.
And they just perceive it as fact and they genuinely.
Absolutely.
I think they genuinely, like, he genuinely was like,
oh,
I just thought of this and it's probably right.
It's gotta be right. It's gotta be right. I'm not peeing.
I made this up and it's right.
It feels right. I think that it feels right. You want some aerated wine?
I'll take a little bit of aerated wine because I'm fucking livid.
Okay, so this should only take about 20 minutes because it comes out very slowly. So just enjoy the sound. Mm. If you need to go to the bathroom, now's a great time because I'm probably making you have to pee. That'll do. That'll do.
Perfect. Thank you.
Right. So
delicious. Okay.
So we can thank Freud.
Oh my God.
For the birth of categorizing female orgasms into vaginal and clitoral orgasms. He did that. He just decided one day, and now that's what we live with. That's what we live with now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I never even thought about that, that he did actually split the two.
Yep.
Okay.
He decided. Okay. You get two, and also one of them, the one that doesn't work that well, is more important. Oh, there's the Seattle Times article that described this birth of these categories as the idea that launched 1,000 fake orgasms.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Oh my God. Fucking so sad.
Yep.
Man, I...
Get it out.
Just how... at any... Like, every woman, I feel like almost every woman has faked an orgasm. Oops.
I feel like there was a stat on that, and it was high.
Because it's so fucking sad. And then, oh my God, it's just so sad. Because I definitely have done it.
Oh, and sure. Yeah.
When I was younger, I was like, how do I just get this to end?
Whatever it takes.
It's fucking so sad. Yeah. And
you don't want to be the person who's like, I mean, there's just so many reasons, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to, if you're not into it, you don't want to keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
So you want it to be over.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to be the person that's like, sorry, you just didn't do it for me, knowing that that's probably going to just like destroy whoever that person was.
Exactly.
Even though maybe.
They're fragile as fuck.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe they should have that happen to them.
Bring them down, dude.
Bring them down.
Oh, I hate myself.
It's like. But it's not our fault.
It's not. Because it's like, I don't know, there are so many men that are like, they get very self-conscious about it and make it about themselves.
Oh, absolutely. It's about
where
them.
You feel responsible to make them feel better. Mm-hmm. And
especially
that's
when
like
you're
why
younger.
It happens.
And when you're younger, you want to be like you want to be.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Accepted.
I come.
Yeah. I love sex. That's so fun for me, too, also. Ooh, I'm definitely not wearing anything right now.
Yeah.
You're sitting home in your penguin pajamas, and we all know it, but no one wants to say it. That's not based on a real experience.
Loving this. Oh, yeah. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yes, so that is... Thanks, Freud. Thanks.
Oh, man.
Super appreciate you. So glad that you felt the need to share your opinion with everyone.
Fuck.
Around the same time, though, this is following World War I, there was a mini sexual revolution happening, and it was kickstarted by some popular books. Some of them include Dr. Lee Harlan Stone's It's 6 o'clock.
Oh, boy. Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's my license
Dr.
plate.
Dr. Harlan Long's Sane Sex Life, Sane Sex Living.
What the fuck?
Don't know. But I did look them up, and the description of that last one. So this is 1919.
Oh, my God.
That we're
what?
Talking. Yeah. So the description of the book on some website, I don't know, was one of the most forthright books about human sexuality written in the pre-joy of sex era, actively campaigning against societal sanctioned ignorance. Medical doctor Harlan William Long uses clinical yet passionate language in his call for men and women alike to be fully educated about their own bodies as well as those of their lovers. This straightforward work is still startling today in its advocacy of detailed explanation, not just of the physical act of sex, but of the emotional art of lovemaking.
What?
Its advocacy of masturbation and its insistence on celebrating the uniquely spiritual. That's all. That's where I stopped. I don't know if I accidentally deleted some of it, but you get the idea. 1919. That's pretty
fucking nuts.
Yeah, that's pretty bold.
The fact
that
like anyone was thinking that way is truly impressive.
They were like, why are you all masturbating and exploring each other's bodies and exploring your own bodies? You dumb fuck. Get with
it. The fact that it could have maybe even changed one person's mind and to have that person tell another person. And it's like, that's how you get that shit started in 1919. That's fucking sick.
Yes.
Oh, thank God for that. Mm-hmm. At least there was like someone being like, hey.
Hey, guys. I know we all love Freud. He seems great. The whole mom fucking thing's kind of weird, but it's fine. I had a thought, though. Let's all whack off. It'll be fun.
I've just watched Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Okay.
I can't wait. And to see Freud it. Is a character in it. Yes. And it's like, I mean, he's barely in it, mm-hmm. but I just keep thinking about
of that. That's
that movie for no reason. Yeah. Where I just, that. When I picture Freud, that's who I picture.
I think that's fair.
Him with Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
That's probably pretty close. That movie's pretty good. It's very good.
I don't know if I told you about Keanu Reeves being married to my sister.
You did. Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, it's fine. I just thought you should know.
Oh, my God.
Anyway. Okay. So now, we're in 1940s.
Sure.
In the 1940s. And we're going to talk about one of our favorite classic frisky scientist couples, the Kinseys, episode 51, if you're interested.
True beans.
Love them.
Yeah.
So they were doing what they could to demystify the orgasm, among many other things. Mm-hmm. And the Kinsey report uncovered factors about sexual experiences, differences in... I don't know why that's
ghost. It's a ghost.
There could be someone here. Let me pause this real quick.
That's really funny.
I'm also going to turn the light back on because I can't see, and so it's very important to me. Wow, and here we are, totally uninterrupted, seamlessly moving from information to information with no reason pause at all and sit quietly in a room for 10 minutes.
Why would we pause?
It's fine. I also do think I move this. Okay, let's just do that. It doesn't matter. I mean, we're not professionals. Let's be real each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have aerated wine, but that's all.
I know.
That's the best we can
There's
do.
There's no need to be intimidated.
We're everyday people just like you.
Like you.
Right. Where we were. Here we were. So the Kinsey report uncovered factors about sexual experiences, differences in sexual habits, and the wide range of possibilities for pleasure. Mm-hmm. And the findings still influence how we think about the female orgasm today. Like that 40% of women get their first orgasms from masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Accurate, mm-hmm. I feel.
Yes.
14% of women reported multiple orgasms. That feels, I mean, I feel like women don't, one, I don't think we all know that it's like, not only are we capable of it, mm-hmm. we're actually the only ones capable of it.
Yes. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. And also it's like, I don't know. It's like, I feel like it takes a lot out of you to do the one and then you're like,
I know.
It was a lot of work to get there and now I have to do it again. I mean, maybe it would be easier, but it just feels like a lot of work to do it again. Mm-hmm. women's orgasmic abilities rise before tapering off at the age of 55 to 60, which I did know. Like dudes move from like super horny when they're younger to less horny, and girls go from like not that horny to mega horny, and then and then both of us get old and then it doesn't matter
and then we die.
That's the best part of it.
Wait.
We're all just being horny until we get a chance to end it.
I didn't know it went sort of like that generally.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's accurate. I didn't actually look that up, but I feel like I've always known that somehow.
Yeah.
So we only have things to look forward to.
That's true.
Gonna keep going up and up and up. Just in time for us to learn about how to make sure we have orgasms every single time. Also, to directly quote the report, many females are incapable of maximum arousal unless the clitoris is sufficiently stimulated. I mean, like a round of applause for the Kinseys. Thank you. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, mm-hmm. for the people in the back. Yes. Thank you. So then 1950 brings the beginning of a story that I think we all know, but I, speaking for myself, definitely have never, ever understood.
Okay.
And that is the G-spot. What is it? Where is it? Mm-hmm. Is it real? I don't know what it is, but I have seen it everywhere.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's how I feel currently. Yeah. So
not a clue.
Educate
still don't
me.
Know. I'm not sure I will, because I kind of was like, I don't really get it. I'll explain some of it, but I don't get it.
Okay. Yeah.
I still don't.
I'm sure it exists. I feel like maybe with different bodies and everything, it could be maybe a little more easier to access.
Come back to this conversation, because there's some things I want to get through that'll give us like a fuller picture, and then I think then let's talk.
No, I think I'm good just guessing.
That's usually how I like to get through things, is to just assume that I already know. Thank you. Okay. So years before its widespread fame in all the women's magazines, Dr. Ernest Greffenberg, a German gynecologist, he published an article in the International Journal of Sexology that introduced a new erotic zone located on the anterior wall on the vagina along the course of the urethra. So, great. Couldn't find it on a map. I don't know what you're saying. I don't know where any of those things are.
Oh my God.
Couldn't find them.
I know.
On the inside? I don't know where that is.
I need to really study my own biology.
You know what? Here's the thing, though. You're going to feel better.
Okay.
I think I got to get through one more page, and then you're going to see why we're like this. It'll all make sense.
Great. Love it.
Great. So fast forward a couple years. So these people, these ladies plus a dude, Alice Landis, Beverly Whipple, who is like the most famous of the three, and John Perry, they're all about this new spot, and they name it the G-Spot after Greffenberg, the guy who found it. But they're the ones took it out. Like it got published in this journal, but nobody really like paid attention. It was not a big thing. Like it was probably in some like circles, but they were the ones that were like, hello, can you get me on the fucking Tonight Show? I gotta talk about this G-spot thing.
That's okay.
Everywhere.
Wow. That's
it like
wild.
Blew the fuck up.
Oh my God.
So
wow.
Okay, so then they claim that if you stimulate that area, it'll swell and that'll lead to an orgasm that is distinct from like one that you would achieve through clitoral stimulation, clitoral stimulation. Can't decide. They test 400 women, and apparently all of them
had a great time.
Were able to find their G-spots.
What?
I don't know about it. Are you sure they weren't just like, I've been here for 6 hours. Like, there it
is. I've been here for so long.
Hey, yeah, I got it. It's like, it's kind of like in the interior in the urethra thing, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yep, that's the one.
That's
Found it. Can I go?
I'm getting compensated?
Right. You guys paying me, or was that just, can I wash my hands, like something? Jeez. This study also led to the discovery of squirting.
Oh man. Oh boy. That's a whole other ball game. Would love to know more about it.
But also didn't really put that much in here. Sorry. I mean just gloss over it real fast.
Thought is that it's pee.
Okay. So one, that Netflix show, they talk about like what it consists of, like the what the fluid is. Because it does come from the urethral tract or whatever.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Same area. Uh-huh. But this is just like a fluid that is ejaculated through the urethra during an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, women are just amazing. But it's not pee. It's like a teeny tiny bit of the same thing as pee, and then like a lot of something else.
Interesting. Oh.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
I didn't really go into it much more.
That's fine.
Watch the Netflix thing, though, if you want to know. They tell you, I think, mostly what I just said is, but with the actual, you'll figure it out. Robin, I can't get you through all of
it. Help me.
Okay. So now we're in 1966. The Masters and Johnson research team, which is led by William H. Masters and Virginia E. Johnson, they published the Human Sexual Response. And their work established that there are four stages. There's a four-stage model to like a sexual response. So
So first is the excitement phase, the initial arousal. Then there's the plateau phase where you're fully aroused, but you're not, you haven't orgasmed yet. Then the orgasm. We know that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, although almost 20% of us don't.
Yeah.
We're,
I know.
We're rooting for you, hang girls. Just hang in there. And then the revolution, the resolution phase, which is just the post-orgasm time. So their model showed that there was no difference between what Freud was alleging was a vaginal orgasm and a clitoral orgasm. Although it's like, I don't know, it's very strange. It's like they didn't take this four-stage thing and they divided it into two categories. Like they're saying this is just what's happening. So we're not putting into two categories. They also were the ones who discovered that men undergo that refractory period that allows them to like, or that doesn't allow them to have another orgasm immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about it.
Yeah, sorry.
Losers.
Not.
Then building off of the Kinsey and Masters and Johnson work, a woman named Sheer Height, she was a sex educator, a feminist, and the author of The Height Report. Mm-hmm. She focused her work on female sexuality specifically, and she believed that if women could orgasm so easily during masturbation, then there's no reason that we should be thinking in these, like, traditional stereotypical ways that, like, female sexuality, it equals, like, not really orgasming that much or not at all, and that it's, like, not that important, and that it can just happen vaginally, but it's like, probably you're just not doing it right. Yeah. Like, she's like, there's no reason.
Yeah.
If we can, like, make ourselves have an orgasm, no probs, by masturbating, like, it shouldn't be that hard. Like, and it shouldn't be seen as some impossible thing just because then we invite a dick into the equation.
Yeah, of course.
So her research concluded that 70% of women do not have orgasms through the in and out thrusting intercourse, but they are able to achieve orgasm easily through direct clitoral stimulation. And she agreed that both Kinsey and Masters and Johnson played like a huge role in like developing sex research and bringing attention to it. She thought that they let their she thought that they let cultural attitudes about sexual behavior affect their research too much. Mm-hmm. And her example of this was like, I think it was Masters and Johnson. They made an argument that like by thrusting, by having like penetration type of intercourse, that it should provide enough like clitoral stimulation through friction alone that you should be able to achieve an orgasm. So if you can't do that, then that is probably a sign that you're like a little sexually dysfunctional.
Right.
And she was like, I think that's kind of bullshit.
Right.
Because you're just like, you're blaming women and saying like, there's a little bit of rubbing happening. Like that should do it. So she was not into it. She was like, I don't think that they were.
Yeah.
Like this know all, say all, whatever, be totally. All. I don't know what the phrase is, but you
they
know
say
I mean.
All, they say it, they thrust it, they, they yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So this brings us to 1998. I want you to remember this date. 1998. All right. 22 years ago.
Yes.
Okay. Australian urologist Helen O'Connell and her team dissected 10 female cadavers and discovered the full clitoris in 1998, 22 years ago.
What?
We were alive when people realized that the clit wasn't just the little thing on the outside. That it's all, there's internal.
There's like a nerve system.
There's like a whole internal
thing. It's like a whole thing.
No one had any idea. Till 1998.
I had no idea.
Isn't it shocking? That's when you were like, oh, I should know my body. I'm like, no one fucking knew our bodies until 1998. And they're still kind of confused about it, I think.
That's fucked up.
Isn't it insane?
Oh my God.
I was like reading this article where they were talking about how like surgeons take like such precaution when doing any sort of genital surgery on men as to not damage any like nerves that would impact sexual function. Like they're so careful, but like, they didn't even fucking know. They didn't even fucking know what was going on inside of us. Until 22 years ago.
Fucking shit. What the
1998,
fuck?
1998. They were like, oh, what's it? Oh, wow. How weird.
Oh, there's it's a more. Whole thing. It's a whole.
Oh, there's. Oh, wait. So there's stuff on the inside? Hang oh on, guys. God. Like, no Whoa. One just took the time to, like, really dissect it. They were like, okay, we see, like, we get the gist of it. You got this uterus. So, you got this thing God. Over here, and there's that thing. We get it.
It is so literal surface level.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, okay, we get it. Mm-hmm. Okay, don't fully get it, but we mm-hmm. don't care enough to actually
yeah.
get it.
I mean, I think we get it enough. It's fine. It's we fine. Get it. Just it's carry fine. On. Howdy.
Natural.
So natural. This is a really long episode, and thank you so much for listening, but it's going to have to be continued. So part two will be here next week. Hope you enjoyed the beginning. And you are going to die at the end. Literally, you'll want to kill yourself because you had to listen to two of these. I'm going to leave now. So here are the articles and whatnot that helped me do this. Netflix and Vox's Explained. Wired article, a BBC article by Linda Geddes. A Guardian article by Nicola Davis. Another Guardian article by Olivia Solone. A Psychology Today article by Sarah Hunter Murphy, PhD.
Oh, damn.
Another psychology one by Joanne Bragshaw, PhD.
Oh, my God.
Bitches.
Yes.
Like several Wikipedia pages. A Society Pages article by Lisa Wadd, PhD. Damn. God. Life Science by Love Stephanie it. Pappas. There's a Smart Set article by Tony Peretta. A Bustle article by J.R. Throat. Washington article by Elizabeth Hess. SMH article.
Shake my head.
It's probably a shakemyhead.com article. I don't remember what that stands for. SMH.com.au. So it must have been something Australian. By Melissa Fife.
Oh, Sydney Morning Herald.
Oh, I said that out loud. Fuck, I'm stupid. Ooh, thank God you don't know that till now, because you already listened to the whole episode, suckers. I don't know shit. A dissertation from the Portland State University by Elizabeth Carroll Hawk. Seattle Times article by Faye Fawn. And a Nature.com article by Emanuela A. Giannini.
Damn.
Boy, okay. Hope you enjoyed that. Hope you're having orgasms for the rest of your life. And thank you very much.
Yeah.
And that's it. We did it. Episode 69.
69. Hell yeah. Nicely done.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a heavy burden to carry, but I feel okay about it.
Yeah.
All it did was focus it on only something I care about.
Perfect.
Yay. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
You can find us on the internet at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our handle is @FriskyHistory. You can also listen on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Google maybe has one. Anywhere podcasts are available.
You can direct your questions, concerns, feedback, and weird sex stories to our email at friskyhistory@gmail.com.
Yeah. So, bye. Fuck you, Terry.